From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. During his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly demonstrating his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 John and verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Once let the truth of God obtain an entrance into the human heart and subdue the whole man unto itself, no power, human or infernal, can dislodge it. We entertain it not as a guest, but as the master of the house. This is a Christian necessity. He is no Christian who does not thus believe. Those who feel the vital power of the gospel and know the might of the Holy Ghost as he opens, applies, and seals the Lord's word would sooner be torn to pieces than to be rent away from the gospel of their salvation. What a thousand mercies are wrapped up in the assurance that the truth will be with us forever, will be our living support, our dying comfort, our rising song, our eternal glory. This is Christian privilege. Without it, our faith were little worth. Some truths we outgrow and leave behind, for they are but rudiments and lessons for beginners. But we cannot thus deal with divine truth, for though it is sweet food for babes, it is in the highest sense strong meat for men. The truth that we are sinners is painfully with us to humble and to make us watchful. The more blessed truth, that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus shall be saved, abides with us as our hope and joy. Experience, so far from loosening our hold on the doctrines of grace, has knit us to them more and more firmly. Our grounds and motives for believing are now more strong, more numerous than ever, and we have reason to expect that it will be so till in death we clasp the Savior in our arms. Wherever this abiding love of truth can be discovered, we are bound to exercise our love. No narrow circle can contain our gracious sympathies. Wide as the election of grace must be our communion of heart. Much of error may be mingled with truth received. Let us war with the error, but still love the brother for the measure of truth which we see in him. Above all, let us love and spread the truth ourselves. Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Dr. Cairns will be concluding his second message in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in John's Gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. The text for the message is verse 35 of John chapter 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. The context of this passage finds Christ rebuking the crowd for following him only for material satisfaction. In stating his identity as the true bread from heaven, Christ emphasized that mankind's real need is the salvation of the soul. In addition, he was showing God's sole provision to meet that need, the true bread from heaven. Furthermore, by telling the multitude that they must eat this true bread, the Lord Jesus was revealing the only way to receive God's provision, by believing on Christ. Finally, we'll see the glorious results of receiving God's provision, salvation, security, and satisfaction. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now there's only one way to receive Christ, and that is, he says, by eating. Now this is where you've got to remember John Chrysostom's warning. This is not a carnal eating. This is not eating and drinking at the Lord's table. If that were so, then everybody who ate and drank at the Lord's table would be saved. They would take in Christ. That would be simple. But we're not talking about a carnal eating. These are pictorial definitions of a personal saving faith. And you find that made very clear if you go back to verse 35 and verse 37. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now later he says, you have to eat, you have to drink. He has already explained that. Eating is coming. Eating is believing. No less a theologian dealing with the controversy of the Lord's table. No less a theologian than Augustine of Hippo, the one whom many Roman Catholics have referred to as the great founder of their view of the church. Unfortunately, there's some truth in that. Not going into the historical theology of it, what he was developing, fighting a group called the Donatists, he developed a notion of the church that Rome has used to great effect. But no less a one than Augustine said, to eat is to believe. To believe is to eat. That's what it means to eat. To eat is not to take the sacrament. To eat is to take Christ by personal saving faith. Now, remember this picture of the manna, and this will probably make it simpler than anything else I can say. Put yourself in the camp of Israel. You're starving. You're in a desert. There's death on every side. God sends down the manna, and it covers the ground like the hoar frost. It's freely available. It's universally available. Any man may go and take and eat. The manna's there. It's everything God said it would be. So you sit in your tent and you talk about the manna, or you talk about something other than the manna, but you don't eat it. What happens? You die. And it's not that the manna is not capable of sustaining life. It is. And it did. Did it for millions of others. It's not that it's not freely available, for it is. It's not that there's any decree of God that you cannot go and take it, and you're not permitted to take it, for that is not true. It's there. But unless you eat of it, it does you no good. Now bring that into John chapter 6. As I say, that manna was not the true bread, but it pictured the true bread. He has come down from heaven. He is universally available. He is mightily powerful. Remember that behind this coming of the bread of life, you have, as Bonner said, you have three things. You have the love of God in that provision. You have the wisdom of God fitting the right food for the hungry souls of men. You have the power of God that makes Christ effective in the actual saving of sinners. You have the love and the wisdom and the power of God, and the man is there. But until and unless you personally eat, you can't be saved. We sang this morning in the 34th Psalm, oh, taste and see that God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Faith eats and fills the soul. Unbelief refuses to eat and starves the soul. The invitation is obvious. If anyone eat thereof, he live forever. Verse 49 says, it's that a man that anyone may eat thereof and not die. There's an invitation that's clear, an invitation that's plain. The only way to receive God's provision is by personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. Final word about the fourth thing that the Savior teaches, and that's the glorious results of receiving God's provision. Now watch this as it develops through the chapter. We go back to verse 35. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Verse 50, 51 again. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And then the last verse we read, 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now here I'll summarize, because this is a sermon all in its own right. Here are the results of personal faith in Christ. I'll summarize them with three words you can easily remember. First is salvation. Verse 54, you eat Christ, you have eternal life. Verse 56, you have union with Christ, you dwell in him. Saving faith is what the old theologians used to call a uniting grace. By saving faith, you are united to Christ. By saving faith, you enter into the possession of eternal life. This is salvation. This deals with sin and all its ramifications. This takes you out of Adam, puts you into Christ, out from under the curse and brings you under the blessing, takes you from the road that leads to destruction and puts you in the path to heaven, takes you from being a sinner and makes you into a saint, a sinner saved by grace. The first result of faith in Christ is salvation. The second result that is mentioned, it's really comprehended in the first, is security. Verse 50, the emphasis is, you'll not die. Now remember, this is not speaking of things carnal, things earthly. This is speaking of things spiritual. This is speaking of what John 8 speaks of, dying forever. You'll not die forever. You'll not die forever. Oh, certainly Christians' bodies will be laid in the grave unless they're here till the Lord comes. They'll be laid in the grave. But they will not die forever. Their souls cannot die. They can never be cast off, cast out, alienated forever from God. They cannot die forever. Why? Because they have had Christ, the living bread, the bread of life, that true bread, who didn't come down from heaven on a fool's errand, who didn't come from heaven to fail, who succeeds in what he set out to do, who saves his people from their sins and secures them for his presence for all eternity. You'll not die. Verse 54 at the end of the verse says, I'll raise him up. The man who has personal faith in Christ, Jesus says, I'll raise him up. Now there's security. You'll not die, but there's a resurrection here. There is a resurrection unto life, a resurrection unto glory. This is what the Bible speaks of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaks of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaks of it, I believe, in Daniel chapter 12, speaks of it in Revelation chapter 20. This is the first resurrection, the resurrection unto life and eternal glory. What a day that's going to be. What a glorious company to be among. What a great destiny to have before us. Never die, never hell, always heaven. Never cut off, always forever embraced in the Father's arms. And then, of course, there's satisfaction. Jesus said, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst." Don't misunderstand what the Savior's saying. He's not for a moment saying as soon as you get saved, you never need to taste of Christ again. You don't need to keep on eating. That's not what he's saying. Faith in Christ is an ongoing process. It has a beginning and it never dies. Saving faith never dies. Understand that. There is no such thing as a person who did believe but no longer believes. That is an impossibility. Faith in the New Testament is always a present and ongoing experience, an ongoing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll always be coming to Him. You'll always be trusting Him. You'll always be eating of Him. You'll always be feasting on Him. The truth is here, that when you have Christ for your Savior, you'll never look for salvation or the needs of your soul to be met in any other than Christ. The old hymn says, "I have Christ, what want I more? I have Christ as my Passover, why would I go back to Moses? I have Christ as my sacrifice, why would I go back to bulls and goats? I have Christ as my justification, why would I go back to works? I have Christ in all His fullness, why would I ever turn back to the husks of the world?" No, when you've got Christ, He satisfies. Now, that leads to the ultimate question, does it not? Have you ever tasted of this living bread? And are you daily feasting on this living bread? Wonder this morning, as you sit in God's house, in spirit, are you really with the prodigal in the pigsties of sin? And you're filling your belly daily, or at least trying to fill your soul daily with the husks that the swine are eating. There you lie, and your Father has bread enough and to spare. Jesus says, any man may come and eat. Have you ever come to taste of this bread of life? Make sure you get to Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.